Fierce Femme Media.
What are we? No!
It's not gonna work. I'm gonna put you in charge of all of the topics for a whole month.
Oh, God.
Hey, maybe we'll get some fun ones.
You never know. I'll have us talk about, like, Lord of the Rings.
Oh, God. I'm gonna be off that
Maybe we won't put Aaron in charge. You're just trying to get out of it. It's like when you tell someone to load the dishwasher and they do it all wonky to get out of it forever. That's what you're trying to do.
Yep, that's right. What else? Star Wars, absolutely.
Okay, I'm into that.
Into it.
Ooh, Star Trek.
I don't even know what else. Star Trek, yes. You know you love some Star Trek.
I was waiting for her to be like the male penis. And everyone, oh, fuck. Yeah.
I don't know enough about that. I have to research it.
Did you know that Emily sent me a thing today that said, hold on, that human sperm don't wiggle, but they roll around like playful otters as they swim.
So look who's talking, had it all wrong.
Do you guys remember that video that went around where that person like reaches down and wakes up that sleeping otter? It's like rolling on its back like this.
Oh my god,
it's the best video. Yeah, and the guy like taps. He wasn't a jerk. He like tapped him like, hey, and the otter was like, oh my god, it's like so funny.
God, I love otters so much. Why are otters so cute?
I don't know. Remember, we looked into like, can we have one as a pet?
Right, because they hold hands.
Yeah, and they said no, but I don't know. I've seen some very friendly otters since that time.
There was a day at work, Jackie, when you were still there. I think it was near Christmas. And me, you, and Poe looked at videos of cute animals for like...
all day.
Like 3 hours, probably.
That's when I discovered the sugar glider.
Mm-hmm. That's right. And
the quokka.
The quokka,
the world's happiest animal, and it's the most what is it? Yeah, I know. Aaron just looked at the video. So the quokka is endangered because it just walks up to its predator and smiles at it. Google quokka right now, Aaron. You're welcome.
Oh no, yeah, no, that's the one that Chris Hemsworth got in the
We were talking about quokkas before Chris Hemsworth. They're amazing. It always looks like it's smiling. It's very cute.
It's very selfies.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to the Weekly Wind Down. I am Jackie D, the literary lesbian.
I'm Stacey, the new age old school mom.
I'm Stacey, the political princess.
And I'm Erin, the geeky gal pal.
Gal pal. Tonight, I am drinking Izzy Isadora North Coast Pinot Noir 2017. So whenever there's the 5-cent sale at BevMo, I go buy wines that I normally would not spend $30 on because in my head, I'm getting them for $15. So I don't know if this is a good brand. I don't know if it's a good year. I don't know if it's a good winery. But when I took my first sip, it was really like, it had a pretty harsh aftertaste to it, which I'm not a fan of. It was pretty acidic, but now that I've, consumed half a glass of it, it's much better. So I don't know if I just didn't let it breathe long enough or what, but it's pretty good now that I've had more. It's inspired by dancing. So,
Did you use an aerator?
No, I just opened it.
Oh.
It says, with a swirl of the glass, release the magic of this fine Pinot Noir, just as Isadora Duncan captured audiences as a dancer in the late 1800s in San Francisco. Inspired by Izzy, the North Coast Pinot Noir is crafted with powerful yet elegant fruit grown in prime vineyard land throughout the region. The wine is elegantly expressive with a beautiful fruit core and velvety texture. I don't know about all that, but it's okay after half a glass.
Wow. That's the wine I should be drinking.
Right.
I'm drinking Robert Hall's Cab Sauv from Paso Robles. It's a 2015. It was on sale at the grocery store for some reason. Sometimes they get like a bottle will open and they'll spill and splash some of the labels. So they'll put all those for $5. So it was one of those. It was $7.50 for this one that's regular 20. So I was like, score. Yeah. It's really good. I like it.
Who gives
really
a shit about cool. a label?
Right? It's got a drop of red on it.
You
so
can piss on it for all I care. If I'm getting $50 off, I'll crack that bitch open.
I don't want that.
Funny.
The box though was a whole bunch of the Walking Dead red for $5 each.
That
so you know
good.
I stocked up.
Yeah,
I got like five of those.
That's funny. All right, I said I was gonna have wine this week.
She looks so disappointed.
I'm not. Well, I know I'm not drinking wine this week, but here's why: because my Piper saga continues. You guys know. So literally since the last episode.
You
Piper
two are little
has,
two peas in a pot, I'll tell you what.
Oh, my God. Well, especially with her latest thing. So over the weekend, she pulled her stitches out of one of her legs, which I don't even know how she did because she had her cone on the whole time. So I don't know if she scratched them, what she did. So then Monday, I started noticing this weird thing on her chest, and I took her to the vet today, and it's a spider bite, and it just keeps getting bigger. And so she's still a mess and sedated in a cone, and so I don't feel like getting wine drunk would be like the best idea while trying to take care of
it's
her.
It's always the best idea.
I am drinking.
Oh.
So I am having a...
Oh, she buried the lead on that, didn't she?
I'm having a drink. I'm just not having wine. And I was like, I keep having seltzers. I'll have wine. But
I've known you for like 5 years, and I never thought I would see you hold anything made by Bud Light in your hand.
Oh, my God.
Ever.
Right? I know, me too. It feels awkward in my hand. And I almost bought the Yeti, like the tall, skinny can Yeti, so I don't have to look at it because it feels so weird in my, like, I don't know how to hold it because it says Bud Light. I saw on TikTok that these were, like, the best seltzers. I might agree. Like, by far better than every other seltzer I'd have, I think. I'm having the black cherry one right now, but there's, like, a strawberry, a mango, and, like, a lime one. So I think I'm going to do mango next. But so far, like, this is good.
Okay, I'm going to try them because if you're going to say Bud Light is good, that has to be pretty damn good.
Yep.
So.
What's the carb count? That.
It is, so here's the other thing on this one, super low sodium. So it's only got 25 milligrams of sodium, 2 grams of carbs. Only one of those is sugar.
How much sugar?
I'm in.
It's just one gram. Oh. Less than, I'm sorry, it says less than 1 gram.
Oh.
And zero added sugar.
It's really seriously that good?
Yeah, it's good.
We're all going to try it.
I'm like, it's I literally.
Pause the podcast. Everyone go to the store.
You know how like White Claws and Truly's and all of those things have that like that fake sweetener taste? Oh. And that's why I like the Truly's better because they have a little
me
less
too.
Of that.
Yeah.
This has been less than a Truly.
All right, you convinced me.
Pretty good. 100 calories, 5% ABV.
Oh, good. It's a 5%. I hate when they're 4.5. Like, I'm not even wasting 100 calories.
100 calories.
If I'm going to waste 100 calories, it's going to be on a cookie. I'll tell you that. Not on 4.5% alcohol.
Right? You got to put a shot of vodka in it. So
right.
Like,
no, hard pass.
I want to say that I love how Stacey's like,
always do it.
I can't get drunk tonight. My dog has a spider bite. And I'm like, I'm drinking all the wine because my kid is throwing up. Like, I'm the opposite.
That is so funny.
I have to drink the night my kid has strep. She's like, no, my dog has a spider bite.
Erin?
I know, I'm
you're
sitting there
vodka,
thinking
right?
to my... Me?
Yeah.
Vodka. Me. Yeah. I am... I actually got this new, well, I don't know if it's new or not. Have I had this one before? Lime and watermelon. Aha.
Aha.
No.
Aha. It's super fucking delicious. A. B. It was on sale at Target. So I got this, this water.
Done
and
done.
It's seriously very, very, very delicious. I've had the strawberry cucumber one of that before. It's super good. But, I had a really shitty week at work, so I needed some vodka. It never has let me down, so
So let's take this chance to wish Jean, the feisty feminist, a very happy birthday. Her birthday was yesterday. Yay! So she's not with us tonight because she's, has she stopped drinking from yesterday? I don't know. It's hard to say. She's a Leo, so it's like a whole thing. It goes on for an extensive period of time. Leos are the only people that when it transitions into Leo, you start seeing posts like, it's Leo season, move over, cancers. It's like, calm down.
Yeah. Okay, maybe I have one of those weird Leo moons or something like that. Because
100%
I celebrate the entire month. I call it Statestober.
You definitely have a moon or a sun in Leo. Make Aaron joke on her. Yeah, where Pisces are like, it's our birthday, but if anyone else has anything going on, we can go ahead and celebrate that. It's not a big deal.
Absolutely.
No, and I don't know. Maybe that's my balance as being a Libra is I'm like, oh, if it's other people's birthday, that's awesome too. But like, we're still going to call it Staystober. And then we all hang out all month long.
The 10th of Staystober. That's exciting for you.
Oh my gosh. You're a Staystober birthday too. I
seriously have like the exact thing that Jackie just described. Like one time for my birthday, I invited all these people. We were in Indiana. We went to the casino in Michigan City and it was for my birthday. Literally no one fucking showed up until like 2 hours after we got there. And I was just like, it's fine. I know everybody has a lot going on. And you know, in the back of my mind, I'm like, I hate myself. Nobody loves me. And like, I'm so like, whatever, you guys are cool, it's fine. You know, of course I cried myself to sleep, but whatever.
We're very different Pisces like that though. I don't cry about stuff very often. I cry like movies.
I cry like after the, I'm like, no, it's totally fine. And then I call somebody and I'm like, it's not fine.
It's so crazy because like certain like TV commercials, songs, movies will like choke me up. And my wife, who is the most emotional person I know, I'll look over at her and I have like tears streaming down my face. And she's just like, And I'm like, are you kidding me? You cry about everything, like everything. And this doesn't get you. And she's like, it's just a TV show. I'm like,
can I make a confession?
Your life.
Last night, I cried kind of a lot watching old Olympic gymnastics videos. Like kind of a lot of crying.
Did you watch Carrie Strug?
Okay, you know, not to go into too much of a deep dive for everybody that doesn't care and doesn't know anything about gymnastics. I was not a Carrie Strug fan.
What?
And I was a little perturbed that she kind of got all of the attention because all she did was come in and do a mediocre vault. She didn't even land the first one. I'm like a hardcore, diehard Shannon Miller fan.
I love Shannon Miller too.
For life. Shannon Miller and Kim Zemeskal were like, you kind of look like Kim Zemeskal a little bit, Aaron.
Oh, thanks.
I just realized that.
I wish I could flip around like that.
But, like, that was Shannon Miller's
moment. Yes, you can.
Moment.
Vodka says you can.
She was, like, the most consistent athlete during the 96 Olympics, during that women's all-around, or during the women's team final, and Carrie Strug comes in, and all she has to do is, like, not fall on her second freaking vault.
Well, yeah, well, she hurt herself, though. God, come on.
No, I'm just saying, she didn't do much. Like, that's all she did. She wasn't amazing at any particular thing. It wasn't even a very impressive, difficult vault.
I really liked, though, but what I liked about Carrie Strug was that she had the short hair. And, like, she just had the short hair. You know what I mean?
That's not what I liked. I liked Shannon Miller's bun with the big, lacy, fluffy scrunchie around it.
And the 75 barrettes.
I don't know what's stopping the Olympic Committee from getting you two on as judges, but they should immediately.
I should, because then I flip to during the Winter Olympics, I very much need to know the relationship status between any pairs, like ice dancing, figure skating. I need to know, like, okay, before we start this routine, have they fucked? Because I'm really going to need to know, like, what are we dealing with here? What's the, is there an unrequited love? Is there, like, So then, like, the last year, that one, like, pair that was brother and sister, I was like, I object. Like, this is not okay.
I can see Stacy in the judge's booth pushing her chair out and standing. No. Just walking out.
I reject this brother-sister pair.
You don't try to fool me.
It's weird. You gotta...
I don't think I could be, like, a commentator for any sort of sports ever because I would totally be, like, a dick. Like, oh, I would be like, okay. Holy.
So Pop-Pop sent him a Furby, which is so fun.
So fun and so creepy.
Oh, Pop-Pop gave you a Furby.
Do you want to say hi? You want to say okay, cool.
I don't like that sound of that Furby.
Sure, right.
They're creepy, especially when the batteries die.
It's all yeah.
Furby, if you shake it over and over, you'll make it angry. Its eyes will turn into fire and it'll yell. And it, like, the eyes light up red. Yeah.
So that Furby actually belonged to Lex. And I don't know what bothers me more, that one, it still works, or two, that someone hung on to it. And three, when did she actually relinquish ownership of said Furby? Because, like, was it 10 years ago or was it 20? You know what I mean? I have that questions. Matters. Yeah.
Can I tell you, I went to, several years ago, a daytime Halloween party at a senior center. And there was a lady that... Please make that noise again.
It cannot be recreated.
It was for work. I was working. And this lady was dressed as a Furby, a senior citizen, dressed as a Furby.
Isn't that a fetish? But then they're called furries.
Furry.
And she would crouch down on the ground and pull the costume over her knees so it looked like she had no legs, just little feet.
Oh, my God.
She got
scariest costume ever.
Still, like, burned in my retina.
You know what? You got to give her, like, credit for just being committed to that, though.
Yeah, you're not a Furby, too.
Like, she put some thought into that.
He did. You can't be a Furby walking around with long legs.
And how long do you think her back hurt for? I mean, really, weeks.
For the rest of time.
All right. Oh, my God. So we got quite a few questions. I'm not going to read everyone off because they were all pretty much in the same vein. People are concerned about mail-in voting, which makes sense. I get it. So California, if you're a registered voter, it is not difficult to get mail-in ballot. This is the first election that they're just, well, no, it's not the first election that they're sending them to everyone. You do not need an excuse to absentee ballot in California. And I believe there's only six states that allow that previous to this election, because COVID, as everything else, has changed everything. So there's a ton of states that are allowing mail-in voting. So I do think it's natural for people to be uneasy about the concept when it's not something that's ever been readily available to them. Mm-hmm. So I want to make sure I'm clear about that. Having questions about this is normal. It's weird, especially with an election this important. Of course you're curious as to how it works and if it's valid, and, you know, if voter fraud is really as legitimate as the asshole is saying, and, you know, that some of the Republicans are throwing around. But so one of the things, the biggest question we got was, is it safe? And I want to tell you, yes, it is safe to vote by mail. We send social security checks, driver's license, voter ID cards. We send everything through the mail. It is safe. But you need to understand the provisions that could get your ballot rejected. So you need to go and see in your state, and I'm not going to read off every state and their timeline. Some states will only accept them up to election day, and some states will accept them after election day, as long as they are postmarked by election day. You need to understand which one your state accepts. You also need to understand in your state what actually gets ballots rejected. Because in 2018, there were 6,700 mail-in ballots rejected from Oregon because signatures didn't match. So 6,700 votes didn't count because you didn't include your middle initial. You didn't. It's however you signed your voter ID card or what is on your driver's license. That is how they're going to cross-check whether or not your mail-in ballot is valid. Now, we're going to get into some of the accusations that have been made regarding mail-in ballots, but the other question that I got pretty consistently was, are you going to vote by mail this year? And I'm going to tell you this, I am not. And here's the reason. This has nothing to do with me not thinking COVID is real or very much an issue. I have voted by mail in California several times. This last election, I voted by mail. It is not because I don't have faith in the system. What I don't have faith in is currently the Postal Service. So this is like kind of a wave of issues that I think could go wrong. Trump right now is setting the stage that this is going to be a rigged election because mail-in voting. He's also demanding that we know the results of the election that night. Mail-in voting doesn't work that way. It will take several weeks to get the final and full count of ballots in. I'm worried that because he's starting this now, he is going to set the precedent that we're going to see overwhelming numbers of Republicans vote in person, which is going to tip the scales in favor of him in the beginning, because they haven't counted mail-in ballots. We all saw what happened when Bush got elected against Kerry. Okay, Florida, I'm looking at you.
Not me. I wasn't even here then.
I said Florida, not Aaron.
No, but God, I hit Florida, and I'm like, Aaron.
So I'm in a situation where I don't have any disabilities. I don't have any high risk people that live in my household. I have many reasons that I feel like I can go in person and vote at the ballot box. Okay. That is not true for everybody. And if you're not in one of those categories and don't feel that you can safely vote, then you should 100% take advantage of voting by mail. I'm not going to personally, but it has nothing to do with me not having faith in the actual mail-in ballot process. The chances of fraudulent mail-in ballot is something like 0.0025%. Like, you're more likely to get struck by lightning. Like, they ran the survey in like a 10-year period where there was only 429 ballots that were actually considered fraudulent in mail-in voting out of billions of votes cast. Billions. 429.
I think I read a study that you're more likely to have Olivia Pope show up as an actual human being in real life and rig the little voting machines like she did on Scandal than you are to have a problem with a real mail-in ballot.
Right. So that's for me personally. I don't know what everyone else is going to do, and you guys can share or not share, but I have just made the decision based on seeing what Trump is currently angling towards that I'm going to go in person. But that is because I have advantages that not everybody has. So I'm not. He put someone in charge of the post office that is a total dum-dum. And is one of his cronies. And they're not offering overtime. They're not letting him work weekends. Like, they're doing all these things intentionally to inhibit the Postal Service from being able to produce adequate mail-in voting on the scale that it's going to happen. Again, I'm not worried about California because we've been doing this here for decades. Mm-hmm. You can actually sign up for a website in California where you can see when your ballot gets mailed to you. You can see when you turn it in. You can see when it gets counted. Like, you can track where your ballot is every single step of the way, every step. And the Trump has said that California, they mail a ballot to everyone who lives in California, regardless of citizenship, regardless of age. That is 100% not true. Three of us live here. We've been asked to go in and make sure your address is correct, make sure that your voter records are up to date, make sure all of those things are true, because they're not just going to send it to everybody. You have to be a registered voter in California. I don't care what Trump tells you. The three of us live here, and we're telling you have to be registered to get a ballot here.
That's not true.
Right.
So I am 100% going to go and vote. And part of it is that I literally feel like I love voting. I like going and voting. Like, it just feels really freaking good.
I do.
And also, I go to the grocery store, and I think a bag of lettuce isn't nearly as important as this fucking election. So in my mind, I am willing to risk anything to vote this motherfucker out. I am willing to risk it. I really am. And
but
I don't know if
you're not disabled or anything either. So that's a...
Agreed. I agree. I 100% agree with that. So if I were disabled, I would definitely vote by mail, and I would not have any fears about it. Just like Jackie said, I feel like there has been so few actual fraudulent mail-in votes that I feel like right now it is literally just because Trump is losing that he is trying to drum up all this attention about mail-in votes. Like, the motherfucker votes by mail. Like, come on. Like, it's just so frustrating. So, and I posted something today about just like, I literally would crawl through a river of COVID to vote him out. Like, I cannot wait to mark Biden, like Democrat, fucking all the way Democrat. Like, I literally cannot wait. I am excited. Like, it's going to be like Christmas morning for me. Like, I'm going to get up and I'm going to go and I'm going to vote. And it's going to be so exciting. I'm going to slap that sticker on my boobie and I'm going to post it everywhere.
There's also some real, like, inequities in the whole voting thing, because there's places in Michigan, there's places in Georgia where people were waiting 8 hours to vote. And if you're one of those people, I understand why you're going to mail your ballot in. I'm not in one of those situations either. So I don't want to negate anyone's personal experience with voting, because there definitely is voter suppression that goes on in this country. I'm fortunate that I don't live in one of those areas, which is, again, why I can go into the ballot box. Do not take this to mean that you have to for it to matter, because that's not what we're saying. Stace, how are you going to vote?
I voted by mail last time, and I'm going to do that the same this time, because I need more time to look up things that I read that I don't understand, because I don't want to just vote willy-nilly. And last time I was texting Stacey like paragraphs, and she was texting me back like, this is what this means. Like, I was so lost. So I just need that extra time to be able to Google things and look up what I'm voting for. So I do it by mail. And like you said, when I had to register to do it, it wasn't that long ago. I had to put all my information in. Then they mail you something. You have to open it, sign it, send it back. They send you another thing. You have to go online. It's all these steps that you have to take. It's not just they send you something in the mail for everybody.
Yeah, these are Bed Bath & Beyond coupons, people. Like, right.
Yeah.
They expire.
Stacey, how are you voting?
I have never voted absentee. And again, it's not because I don't trust it. It honestly is surprising to be reminded that not every state has that option, and that people would be worried about the validity of their votes, because absentee voting has just been such a prevalent thing in California for such a long time. I'm like Aaron. I like to vote. I like to go in. I like to do. I like to get that sticker and slap it on my boob. I like to pick out my little, like, this is what I'm going to vote in today outfit. I like the process of it. But I also do exactly what Stacey was talking about. And I spend time looking at the stuff that I'm not as familiar with. DAs and, a lot of times propositions can be worded really bizarrely. And you have to look at, like, what does that really mean? What's it really saying? And so there is a lot of work that goes into that. And it's okay to bring in a cheat sheet with you that says, like, okay, here's all the things.
When we have years where we have like 100 things, I bring in mine that I've already checked that I'm going to vote on. I bring mine in with me.
That's what I do too, mm-hmm. because there's a lot of stuff to remember when you're doing it. But I love that feeling of going in there. And again, if I was in a different group, if I was sick or if I was in a sensitive group where I didn't have the ability to go in, I would feel 100% comfortable voting absentee. My dad always voted absentee. Like, it's just never been a thing I've been worried about. I will say that I think probably due to the fact that absentee voting is so popular in California, I don't ever even wait in line to vote. Mm. So I really feel like my exposure is going to be so minimal voting. Hopefully not. I hope I have to wait in line for 2 or 3 hours because that many people have showed up to vote. But,
We also have, numbers-wise, we have a staggering number of polling places in California compared to other states.
And, like, I don't see how an absentee ballot would be that much more, less credible, because I can guarantee you no one ever checks my ID when I go in to vote in person. I've never once had my ID checked.
I never did in California. I always did in Pennsylvania. They always checked my ID in Pennsylvania, which was probably because there was, like, 200 registered Democrats where I live, so they were like, are you sure? Like, let me see your ID to make sure that you are who you say you are.
It's funny.
But you still, even if they don't check your ID, you still check your name on a list, right?
Well, yeah, they ask for your name and then they're like, okay, here's your ballot. And they have like, you know, whatever different, you know, thing they have that they do and how they check them and how they run them. And I get my little sticker and it's always the same people that are volunteering. And I voted in every presidential election since I turned 18. And I like the process. I will probably nerd out so much that I will start binge watching The West Wing probably in September, just in preparation.
I'll do it with you.
Okay, good.
So I did want to mention this though, because Stace brought up a good point. If your ID is not checked and someone checks in under your name and the ballot's given, and then you show up, okay, what they're going to do, and this is one of the ways they protect from fraudulent voting, they're going to call the number on record that they have for you and ask mm-hmm. you to come down and verify your voting. If you cannot do that, they are going to throw that ballot out, which is yep. another way to eliminate voter fraud. So if your polling place doesn't check your ID or you're concerned that that's what's happening with illegal immigration or whatever, if someone else comes in to vote for that person, they're going to call both party, or they're going to call the number they have on record and ask you to verify.
And if you're concerned up until this point, you can check. There's an app, and I forget the name of it, but you can see your voting record, but you can also see other people's voting record. So, like, it'll go through the contacts in your phone, and you can see what party people are registered as and what I know is interesting. And what, like, what elections
they voted right. for.
It doesn't say who they voted for, but it says if they voted, and it says what party they're registered as, because really that's...
So
public record.
Look at mine. Make sure I'm voting for the right party. Because I had issues with mine. When remember I did like no party, and they said I couldn't vote for the president, and then I had to like register, and then they sent it back and said I didn't sign it right, which I totally did, and so all these things. So
as a reminder to everyone, she lives in California. So those that think that they just let us do whatever we want here with voting, not true.
Well, because if you're not associated with a party, you don't get to vote in that party's primary.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, like, in this state, that's not the case. In every state.
Yeah, correct. In California.
Do we know what the name of that app is?
I don't remember.
Come on, Stacey.
That's a good dating tool. One of the other questions that we had was a term called vote harvesting, ballot harvesting, vote harvesting. And what that actually means is a group of individuals collects a bunch of absentee ballots that is in a particular party's that will push them in a certain direction, and they dump them all. I've seen a lot of memes, which, again, guys, memes don't make it real. saying that this is what the Democrats are going to do. The only people that have ever been prosecuted for vote harvesting are Republicans. So I'm not saying I don't know. I don't know every Democrat in the country. Like, that would be impossible for me to know that. I'm not saying it's never happened. I am saying that the only people who have been prosecuted for are Republicans, though. So take that for what it's worth. Now, there was a case up in Michigan, I believe, where someone who was working for the DNC, who the DNC subsequently fired, collected 327 ballots and for the Republican Party, and she did dump them. She has not faced charges yet. So I'm just saying that in full disclosure. That is one of the stories that they're pushing. But when that happened, the DNC had already removed her from her place, asked her to told her she was no longer welcome. She went to a neighboring area, did it. It's a whole scandal thing where she was very, very shady about the whole thing. But again, it was 326 votes. It was for a primary. It ended up not mattering. It doesn't, like, that's what I'm saying. A lot of times these fraudulent votes, even if you completely voided them, they wouldn't matter. But they just wouldn't. And especially the likelihood of it happening is so low.
I just think it's so hilarious that a man who literally had Russia help him win is already crying that it's going to be a fraudulent vote. You know what I mean? Like,
the point that he wants to push the election out.
Right. Like, excuse me, sir. I would like to remind you that Hillary fucking won the popular vote and had Russia not fucking interfered, we would have a different president. You need to sit the fuck down. I cannot wait. God damn, it better fucking go in our favor or I will cry.
So some of the things that the president has said, is with universal mail-in voting, not absentee voting, which is good. Okay, same thing. Absentee voting and mail-in voting are the exact same thing. I voted when I was off the coast of Iraq. Like, it is the same damn thing. 2020 will be the most inaccurate, and he likes to capitalize things, which just random words. Inaccurate and fraudulent election in history. It will be a great embarrassment to the USA. Delay the election until people can properly, securely, and safely vote. So this was another question we had. Can the president actually delay the election? The answer to that is no. It is Congress that sets the election date. Okay. The 20th Amendment in our Constitution, which he has spent 4 years wiping his ass with, he probably should have bothered to read while he was on the toilet. The 20th Amendment states that as of noon on January 20th, the president, if not reelected, becomes a private citizen. We have supposedly a balance of power in this country, the judicial branch, the executive branch, and Congress. Okay, and I say Congress to mean the House, Congress, all of them. So if he has zero authority to change the date of the election, so stop getting worked up about it. Stop. They're trying to distract you from all of his other bullshit. Congress can change it. Mitch McConnell is not going to change the election date because you know what happens? Their voters who tend to be older and not on social media, they don't always follow this type of thing, and they're going to miss election day. He's not going to take that chance, all right? We haven't delayed an election during the Civil War. We haven't delayed an election during World War I or II or the war in Iraq. This election is not getting delayed. If the president proclaims it, he will still become a private citizen at noon on January 20th. Yep. And it's unclear what would actually happen because the House wouldn't be reelected. And then so it would go to the Senate, which would go to the longest standing senator, which in the Democratic, like, there's all these things that would take place, but it's not going to happen. He can't delay the election. So all of this is fodder to distract you from everything else. Also, I'd like to know, you're going to send kids back to school, but it's not safe to vote. Like, get the fuck out of here with that.
Right. Say it again for the people in the back.
Everyone who listens to this agrees with us.
That's true.
Good the point. Other thing, so Trump said on
say April, it again anyway.
Trump also claimed there's a lot of evidence, but we won't provide you, but we'll provide you with some, okay? And I'm sorry, this sounds disjointed, but I'm literally reading a transcript of what he said. So bear with me. I think there's a lot of evidence, but we'll provide you with some, okay? And there's evidence that's being compiled, just like it's being compiled in the state of California, where they settled the judicial watch saying that a million people should not have been voting in. You saw that. I'm telling you, California. In that great state of California, they settled, and we could have gone a lot further. Judicial Watch settled there. They agreed that a million people should not have voted, where they were 115 years old and lots of things, and people were voting in their place. Again.
Remember when you were in, like, middle school or elementary school and some asshole would read, and it was, like, the worst reading ever? Like, that's how it is reading a Trump whatever.
Okay.
It's so fucking stupid.
No, you know what it sounds like? Okay, it sounds like, tell me if this sounds familiar to you. Votings was a great night for me and my family to be with me today. I was really excited about to go to the movies with you, and you have to do a lot more fun things, and then you can get it. It sounds like that thing where you type one word and then you just push the middle button on your board,
like,
on the predictive text. That's exactly what all of his tweets sound like. Like, he just started with the word voting and then hit the middle button.
He's also, I mean, I'm not going to go into a deep dive of California. We've told you what it's like to vote here. It wouldn't be possible for a million people to show up. And first of all, you have to find a million. We can't even get, if we can get that many people to give a shit about voting, like, it's so difficult to get people to even fucking vote. Do you think they're going to take time out of their day to go down and vote for someone that they have to know they're dead? They have to know their address. They have to know their birthday. Like, they have to know a bunch of things, and then multiply that by a million. Okay. That's not a thing that's common sense dictates that that's not a thing that's going to happen. And then in Michigan, he went on a tirade saying that Michigan sent 7.7 million voters ballots that weren't registered or that didn't have voting capabilities in that state. The governor came on and stated they weren't ballots. They sent them voter registration information. If you want to register to vote, do so here. So that's another fallacy that, and all I'm trying to do here is throw some stuff that he's spitting out so you have a little bit of background on it, because it just comes in such like waterfalls of sheer shit.
It's like the weekly wind down is also PolitiFact.
Okay. I'm literally reading from PolitiFact.
Okay, I have to share with you guys though. I did a couple more of these while I was sitting here where you just press the center button. Tell me this does not sound like a Trump tweet. Republicans have to be a better person in their life, and then the rest of the people that are going to tell you it was a great day to get the rest of the night and I get to go back and try it was a great idea. And maybe that's a really nice thing about that you can get it done at the same time. What a Trump tweet. Democratic in the community, of course. He has to do some good for the community, and that way more people can be better and they have a little more fun and stuff. Like to join him and like to have, you know, I don't think I have a lot to say anything. Him, like I said, yeah, I don't think so. That's not a Trump tweet. This is how this fool is tweeting.
Literally. Although I feel like that's still too smart, even for him.
Stace, what have you been seeing on Republican social media?
Just exactly what you said, that it's all stacked against him, that it's all going to be miscounted and rigged, and that as soon as he loses, that's what he's going to blame it on.
Yep.
Because we voted by mail.
But remember, he started to do this in 2016 too, preemptively.
That. Yep.
If he loses, it's because it was rigged.
What we need to start talking about is, and I mean this sincerely, is everyone needs to start normalizing the idea that if we're going to have this scale of mail-in voting, that we are not going to have the election results that night. We are not going to, and we have to be willing to wait a week, possibly two, to know who the president is. We have to.
It just is what it is, yeah.
We have to wait for mail-in votes to come in.
But that's why people, that I was just going to say, that's why we wait so long. Normally it's California that's tabulating for such a long time, but you don't have to wait until election. You know what I mean? Like you can send your ballots in early. So if you're mailing in you're allowed to do so, send them in as soon as you're ready. You know, as soon as you get them, as soon as you vote, mail them back in, get them in there and get them counted early.
Yeah. This idea that he's pushing that we have to know the results that night. No, we do not. And we all need to start talking about that right now. And I mean this, even if Biden is in the lead, we have to let every vote be counted. We absolutely have to. That is the only way to preserve democracy, essentially, even though I know we live in a republic.
But like even late precincts that are reporting and that sort of stuff, like you have to remember that if you are voting in person, if you're choosing to vote in person, don't pay attention to returns, especially that early, because you're going to have all these mail-in ballots that haven't been counted yet. So when you see, if you think Biden has this big lead and maybe you don't need to go down and wait in line and vote, because you have no idea what those mail-in ballots say that haven't been tabulated yet. So it's so important. Yeah. Don't pay attention to returns and let that make your decision for whether or not you vote.
Right. And some this
election is so important. Like, it's just like every person needs to vote, like, period. Like, and anybody that says like they're not voting or it doesn't matter, like, this election more than anything, your vote matters.
Oh, like, I'm like just this close to registering for Kai and voting for him. I'm just kidding. I wouldn't do that. It's illegal. California will go blue anyway. Don't worry about it.
Right.
What about in Florida?
Listen, Florida, you guys fuck it up every year. Like, I don't understand why you see all these election results coming in and everyone's still waiting on fucking Florida.
Listen to me. Take the U out of that.
I'm going to be honest with you. Florida is a state that I didn't even think about until, one, I knew you, because now I think about Florida a lot. And two, I only thought about them every 4 years when you're sitting there looking at the map going, what are you fuckers like, doing down there?
Come on, Florida.
What are you guys doing? Hanging Chad.
When you said take the U out of that, I was like, there's not a U in Florida, dummy.
Florida, for sure.
But yeah, Florida got on the map with a hanging chad, and I'm not sure you want that to be the defining moment in your state's history.
That's the one thing that worries me about mail-in ballots. Like, oh my God, Florida can't even count a regular vote. Like, what the fuck is going to happen with mail-ins? Like, come on. Well, it's just...
And the 2000 election was actually decided by, like, 500 and something votes in Florida. Like, yeah. So if you think your vote doesn't matter, your vote 100% matters. Well, technically, also, it was decided by the Supreme Court, but that's... Yeah. I digress.
He shouldn't have won. Anyways, doesn't that seem so quaint now, though?
Mm-hmm.
Like, but that I would problem. Take him back in a heartbeat.
Like I would how take cute... Both. Oh my God, I would take Bush back in a heartbeat too. How cute was that? I protested him with my dad and the war and the whole thing. But like, how adorable was that when we were like, damn, the banging chads and blah, blah, blah. Like, yeah, he was goofy and stupid and stuff, but he didn't run the country into the ground as much as this fool has in 4 years.
Not quite right. as much.
Well, but I mean, in 8 years, he didn't do nearly as much damage as Trump has done in four.
And he didn't.
Trump has fucked us. And right. Now it's. We're going on four so
really,
years of this.
A really good resource if you have questions about your particular state, your particular like areas, because there are even some states that let you take your mail-in ballot and drop it off at your polling location if you don't trust the mail or have issues with the mail or whatever.
You can drop it off at City Hall.
Yeah. So there, if you want to go to votesaveamerica.com, all of these regulations you can look up. In some places, you can even get your ballot ahead of time. If you're not in a state like California that mails you all this information super early so that you can look it all over and make a decision, you can go there and whatever states have their ballots available to look at online and make these decisions online, and you can peruse the information, because sometimes these referendums are confusing and you don't know, they're worded weird. And
right. Is it for it or against it?
Like look
or,
at Prop 8 in California.
Yep.
It was worded very strangely. Voting yes on it took gay
was
rights away.
No.
Yeah.
Right.
So it's worded strange.
I was gonna say, if stickers are important to you too, check and see. There's a lot of places where you can go in and get a sticker, even if you voted absentee.
Yeah.
Love it.
The sticker
it comes
important.
In your mail-in
thing. Just in California? Is that just in Florida? I mean, in California? It's not in Florida.
Maybe. I got it when I did mine. Like, it comes with in your envelope.
Oh, good.
VoteSaveAmerica.com. Go there. It has all the information. And another thing that they're pushing there is if you are young and you are low risk for COVID and you know you have the ability, go volunteer at a polling location.
Yes.
Because a vast majority of poll workers are retired elderly people, and because they don't have the resources with COVID going on to man polling stations are closing. So if you are comfortable with working at a polling location and can take the place of someone who's 70, volunteer to work at a poll location. And then you can be in charge of making sure people's signatures are correct and that nobody is cheating the vote. And you can do all of those things. So if you are able, go volunteer at a polling location. I'm actually considering it doing this year and taking the day off work because I think it's so important.
I just thought about that myself. I was like, I fucking hate work. I love to risk myself.
Well, I hate the idea of polling locations being closed because they can't man them because of senior citizens. Like, that to me, everyone should be able to go and vote. It should be a fucking national holiday. Like, let's be real. No one should have to work that day.
Obama just said that the other day. I agree.
I really feel, too, like in Florida in particular, because our... like we just have a lot of senior citizens here. Like, I just feel like every time I've ever voted here, it's always been senior citizens. So I can imagine that our polling places are going to be, limited.
Which, so if you can take the day off work and go volunteer at a polling place, do it.
Yeah. Guess what? I can give myself the day off because I'm the fucking boss. What?
Hey! There you go. I'm seriously considering it this year because I'm so concerned about, places closing.
Agreed.
Can I go, Jackie, to do that?
What?
What did you say I need to go to figure that out?
VoteSaveAmerica.com, and you can find out all that kind of information. You can even sign up. They have an Adopt-A-State program right now where you can text people and remind them to vote. You can text people and give them their voting location. You can text people who aren't the undecided voters, and you can talk to them about Joe Biden. Like, Vote Save America is a very good resource. They don't need any publicity because they are the dudes who run Pod Save America, the Obama bros. So,
which is great. Listen to Pod Save America.
Oh, I'm not hating on them at all.
People
but
should do that too.
They've contributed millions of dollars to Stacey Abrams' organization to reduce voter suppression. Vote Save America. You can find out all this information. You can find out where to volunteer. You can find out where to poll work. You can find out where you can join campaigns. You can find out all of this stuff. So, what's everyone obsessed with this week?
Boy. Okay, two quick things. Number one, my daughter had to get tested for COVID because she has cold symptoms. So we went and did it. It's been 2 weeks. I guess it's day like 12 for that we're still waiting for her test to come back. And I think that that's so unacceptable because number one, it's, my husband has to fill out this like online questionnaire every morning. He takes his temperature and he has to say like, no, I haven't had a cough, no, this and this. And because he said, I don't know, I could be exposed to it. And he went with my daughter to get her test and took it with her so that she was, you know, could see like, it's not a big deal like this. I'll do it with you for support. And because he got a test, he hasn't been able to go back to work. So he's been off for 2 weeks too. And I think it's so like shitty that, I mean, imagine we're lucky we can do this. We have the ability to, he can take the time off and it's fine. We can quarantine her in our guest house. It's fine. She's not going to school right now. It's fine. So it's fine for us, but there's other people that can't take the time off like this. And it's so shitty. It's so shitty that we have to wait 2 to 3 weeks to hear the results. And then what? By then, does it even fucking matter?
No.
If she if it comes back positive in 3 weeks, she's obviously over it by then, probably. And then we're going to have to, what, get her tested again to get a negative one? You know, like, it's just, they made this big deal saying, like, anybody can get tested. You don't have to have symptoms. You can do the drive-through testing, and that's, it's not the case. That's not how easy it is now. So rant about that. But number two, my husband and I have been going out hiking every morning, and it's been really peaceful and relaxing for my anxiety, and I'm really appreciative of that. So I'm glad we live in an area, there's nobody on the trails. We go really early in the morning to beat the heat, and there's nobody out there, and it's chill. And I'm glad that we have that opportunity to do that together. So good things and bad things.
I really dig your pictures.
Yeah, me too.
Pictures have been awesome. I'm like, oh my God, what is that? You're like, it's a turtle. I was like, damn, I thought it was a snake.
And you know what? I'm so glad Kai's taking some time off work because this man never takes time off work. So even if it was forced, I'm glad to see him taking time off work.
So like, I mean, he has no choice. So he wakes up at 6 a.m. and goes out to work like normal. Comes in for dinner.
Yeah.
Yeah. At the house. And I'm like, bro, you need to like chill and relax. So now every day, this week I finally got him to, he goes for a hike with me in the morning. We sit down and cook breakfast and eat breakfast together. And then he goes out to work at like 9. And then he has to take a 1 hour break from 1 to 2 to swim with me every day.
And I love that.
To get him to take a break because he is so like driven. He has to, because he's like, when I have to go back to work, I'm going to be in lazy mode if I don't keep moving and keep working. And I'm like, yeah, okay, whatever.
All I'm saying is the cabana should be done then in these 2 weeks.
That's, I was just thinking that.
That's not a time issue.
I want to see progress on those. Erin, what about you? What are you obsessed with?
So did I mention this last week? I don't remember. I've been obsessively rewatching Frasier. I feel like I mentioned it.
You did.
Several times.
Yeah. Several times. Well, I'm going to mention it again. So hold on. When I was probably like 19, 20 years old,
In 1947.
I know. Sicily. My very first job was at a Super Kmart in Portage, Indiana. And I would, after I get off my shift, I would like race home, and my mom and me would watch Frasier. And, you know, as the time went on, like, obviously rerun after rerun, da-da-da-da-da. So as I came into this, like, lesbian person that I am now, I don't know, I finally figured out that I fucking like vagina instead of dick.
Wait, what?
I keep meaning to tell you. And it just escapes me every time. But I had the biggest fucking crush on Roz Doyle, right?
Oh my god, that tracks.
I love her so much. I love everything about her. I love who she was in the beginning, and she's a strong, independent woman that, like, the only reason she needs a man is for sex, and I just fucking love it. And so as I'm watching this, I'm remembering as I was, like, coming into my own and becoming, like, a writer, whatever, like, I would write fan fiction of Frasier, and it was always Roz and Niles, and I was like, oh, I know, there's this, okay, season 6, episode 16, it's called Decoys, I know, because I just got done watching it, is when Roz and Niles have, like, a kiss, and, like, I remember seeing that episode and just being so excited about it. And one of the things that I think that I was really excited about, and this is what I've become, like, kind of obsessed with, is the idea of someone that isn't meant for you is actually, or someone that isn't your norm is actually the person that's meant for you. Mm-hmm. And that's something that has, like, really driven me in the last, like, couple of, like, weeks, is this idea of, Who are we meant to be with and why? And I'm trying to come up with, like, a new proposal to write a book. And so I'm thinking about all these different things. And, like, I watched this episode the other night, and it just is so exciting to me to think about, like, there's this strong, independent woman that is just 100% sure of herself and knows everything that she needs to know about herself. She gets pregnant. She has a baby. She's, like, so out of where she thought she was going to be at this time in her life. And she encounters this person who is just someone that she never thought she was actually going to hit it off with, you know? And Niles and her obviously don't end up together. He ends up with Daphne, spoiler alert. But, like, at the end of the day, what I really love is that she figures out that, like, it doesn't really matter who she ends up with. It's all about being happy with who she is. And that's something that I've loved about Roz from the very beginning. And so I really, unfortunately, because this is just, like, a fucking dead end, it was, like, you know, when did it end?
2007?
1984? Right.
Cheers! No, Cheers ended then.
No.
Listen, if you haven't watched Frasier, it's one of the best written shows. It is so smart and so funny and so sarcastic. And they're so. And one of the things that I also found out, which I, when I was really obsessed with it, YouTube was not as big as it is now. And now it's really big. Yay for me. Yay for you guys, because you get to hear about it. So one of the things that made Frasier so exciting and is that their witty banter, like, it was, it, like, almost sounded like it was ad-libbed, but it wasn't, because they all come from, like, theater backgrounds. So they all memorized their lines, like, perfectly timed. Everything was, like, perfect. So they never really had bloopers. They had, like, maybe a minute worth of bloopers for an entire season, 24 episodes, a minute worth of bloopers, because they literally never fucked up. They were in front of a live studio audience. Like, they were on it. Like, you know what, Jackie? Your smile is Frasier, making me.
Frasier premiered
in
1993. And it aired its last episode in 2004.
11 seasons.
11 seasons.
Yes.
It was, I feel like that whole, like, thing you were saying about, like, are you with who you're supposed to be with is why we all watched Bridges of Madison County the other night, too.
Oh, my God. I'm obsessed with.
Oh, my God.
Oh, sorry.
No, I'm not.
Yeah, I just.
Segue to you, like, that's the whole thing that, like, this whole idea of, like, I'm happy, but I'm not. Well, I'm fulfilled, but I'm not happy.
Right. That's big.
Segue, because after I took Piper to the emergency vet on Saturday morning, I came home and I wanted to watch some sad movies for whatever reason because I couldn't sleep. So I started with, because I hate myself, The English Patient, which again...
Never heard of her.
Okay. Yeah. You've never seen The English Patient, Jackie?
Nope.
Oh my God, it's so good. Kristen Scott Thomas.
She's so beautiful. Like, literally,
I should have even pulled this string on you, too.
Oh,
I've never seen any.
So good.
You guys, you have to watch The English Patient.
Oh,
Ralph Fiennes is so hot in that movie.
As soon as we can, you need to come over and we'll watch it and drink wine and cry together.
Yes. God. Sure. Oh, my God. Kristen Scott Thomas, though, she is like, I don't think I'd ever appreciated that when I'd seen this movie before, but I literally was watching it and I was like, she might be the most beautiful woman I've ever seen.
Oh my God. In this movie. She's in The Horse Whisperer.
Yeah. Like, she's so beautiful. So anyways, I like watched that and I cried because as one does. Wait, and then wait, I was
time,
like,
time out. Right. With the name, Kristen Scott Thomas. Like, that is a fucking movie star
it
name.
It is a good name.
Anyways, carry on.
It's a good name. And that's a whole... But again, like, between her and her husband, which, again, Colin Firth, love, like, is she with the right person? Clearly not, because, you know. But, like, oh, it's so good. So then I was like, oh, well, I don't hate myself enough after watching this. I should probably watch Bridges of Madison County.
Shoot me in the face.
It is such prime Meryl Streep. She is at her most Streep.
Like, gotta be firm from now on.
She really Streeps the crap out of this. I actually think she's at her most Streep that I love in Postcards from the Edge, which is like one of my favorite movies.
Devil Wears Prada.
It's complicated.
It's complicated. But you know what? Her character in Postcards from the Edge is that same kind of like, it's complicated, like quirky, funny, whatever. But if you've never seen Postcards from the Edge,
so good.
Carrie Fisher wrote it. It's loosely based on her and Debbie Reynolds, and Shirley MacLaine plays the Debbie Reynolds character, and Meryl Streep plays the Carrie Fisher character, and it is so good. It's like, it's phenomenal.
Fisher and Meryl Streep became really good friends, which is so exciting because anybody who loves Carrie Fisher wants to be friends with Meryl Streep.
Of
so
course,
it's like a
Queen Meryl. But so then I watched Bridges in Madison County, and I was like bawling at the end because that whole like. It is so sad to me. I don't think there's anything sadder in the world than her not opening that car door at the end of that movie.
And it's
like her little hand and just it grips. And it's so sad because it's like I think about all these people that like literally give up their lives for other people. And they have to like she missed out on the love of her life to stay with a husband she was not really happy with to take care of the kids.
I see it as staying with her kids more than her husband.
Mom can leave her kids.
I could never leave the love of her life. Yeah.
I do too.
The sad part is that her kids were like fully grown.
I know.
So they were not 13, 14 ish, right?
No, they're 16 and 15, 16, I think.
Yeah, they're like driving age.
Yeah, but I just, it's so, what resonated the most with me during that whole thing was when she's packing, right? Mm-hmm. And she's packing as if she's going to... I'm sorry, this is total fucking spoiler alert
if
for anybody
who's
not...
haven't seen Bridges of Madison
like,
County
I don't
right
even
now.
Know what to tell you fucking watch right. It. It's on HBO Max. But, like, when she's packing and she's going to open the drawer, which she opened in the beginning of the movie for her husband, and it's that whole, like, shimmy with her hip. Like, that part resonated so much with me because... In the beginning, she did it for him, and then she's struggling with it, and she's like, you know, and then it's just, there's this whole idea of, like, what, just this idea that you put yourself aside for your family, and then when you are able to, like, bring yourself out again, it's almost impossible to put yourself away.
Right, because it's devastating at the end, like, after her husband passes away, which the way she, like, lays with him makes me think that she did choose him a little bit, not so much because she was in love with him or whatever, but just that, like...
He was her best friend.
It's a commitment, and that's what she needs
to do. She did love him.
Don't you think that like, it highlights a difference in loves? Like, you can feel a devotion to someone that isn't rooted in passion.
He's not a bad guy.
Right.
Like, that's don't you think it highlights, like, the importance of different types of love in your life? Like, passion versus familiarity and security. And, like, it just depends on what you need more. Neither one's wrong. What do you need more?
The thing I think is so sad about that whole thing is after her husband dies, and then she, like, it's too late to move on. Like, it's just, it's too late for her to start that chapter because then he's not alive anymore. And he kept all that stuff. Like, he pined after her for all of those years. And it just, like, ugh. So then because I hadn't had enough of that.
Are you kidding me?
Oh, no, I'm not. I watched Message in a Bottle.
Like, that one's kind of silly, though, isn't it? I haven't watched it since, like, the 90s.
No, it's got a real sad ending.
Oh. Yeah. Oh, maybe I don't remember it.
What's that other movie that's kind of like Message in a Bottle, but...
Who's in Message in a Bottle again? Is it Richard Gere?
No, it's... Oh. Oh, my God. What's his name? Kevin Costner?
Yes, and? Is it Diane Lane?
No, but that's the other movie I'm thinking of is the one with Diane Lane.
Meg Ryan.
Nathan Rodanthe. That's the one I'm thinking. Yeah. Yeah. But I think, are they both? They both might be Nicholas Sparks movies. Because Message in a Bottle is. Knights and Rodanthe is too, right?
Right. Both of them are. Well,
So remember what happens at the end of every Nicholas Sparks movie, practically. Like, one of the people in the couple dies, and that's how all of those work. Robin Wright Penn.
Yes!
I'm okay. Robin Wright
Big
now.
Big fan of her.
Ugh. Message in a Bottle. Super cute. Never sad heard ending. Of her. But so I watched that, and then I was like, wow.
I've never seen it. I've never seen Bridges of Madison County.
You gotta watch it. It is literally... Okay, so, Jackie, you know. You and I have written... Uh-oh.
No, she's choking.
She's choking.
No, she's coughing. She's fine.
I have read the book.
Okay.
I've read the book. I have not seen the movie. Okay. Which is why I think she was more devoted to her children and her family than the other person. Because in the book, it definitely highlights her internal... It. Yes.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. But I feel like it's also a kind of... I don't know how to explain it, but it's... The loyalty to your kids goes beyond just, like, even when they're a little bit grown... They still need their family back at home and that parent unit to be complete.
It's like
even into like their early 20s, because then they're dating to maybe marry and they're getting into these serious relationships, and they need to see that a husband and wife can work, and that not everybody gets divorced, not everybody cheats, even though they're going through these struggles like in their own relationships. I feel like having that background of parents that are still together is really important for young couples. You know what I mean? Does that make sense?
So yeah. Sad. One of the things that I really loved about The Bridges of Madison County is that I watched it for the very first time with my mom. Okay. Mm-hmm. So like I was probably what was the year it came out? Like the
1842.
Movie? Okay. So I was 109 and now I'm 209. So, I don't know math at all right now.
You're not doing numbers, yeah.
Potato wine on board. But one of the things that, like, so, like, I was a young kid. Like, I was probably, like, in my teens. And
95.
My mom, okay, so I was 15, 16 years old, right? So I'm, like, I'm watching this with my mom. And my mom had just finished watching. She had gone to the theater a year earlier with her girlfriend. Her friend. It wasn't her girlfriend.
No one thinks that. We get it.
I know, but, like, who knows? Maybe my mom was a big gay. I don't know.
Probably
so,
not.
Like, I mean, maybe. So
gay.
She was a gay. So
gay. She can say it. It's fine.
I can say it because she's dead. So, yeah. So she went to see
this movie. I wish everybody could see the look on your face.
So anyway, so she went to see this movie.
I get it. You have to be in the club, I think, to get
it.
Yeah.
You gotta get it. Like, everyone else is like, what? I'm like, it's fine. It's fine. Yeah. I love you, Mom. So she went to see this movie with her friend Karen, her best friend, and they like came back and they were like, we were sobbing. It was so intense. And I was like, you guys are so weird. Like, it was just a movie, right?
No.
Then, like, I see it with my mom. And my mom is sitting there and she's like smacking me. She's like, this is the part. This is the part. You're going to cry. You're gonna. I'm like, I'm not going to cry, Mom. Stop. God, come on. I'm fine. And she's like, no, you're not fine. And then, like, 20 minutes later, I'm fucking sobbing.
Here's the thing about this story, and maybe I got this from reading the book, and I think what it did well was one of the underlying characteristics was people are fucking complicated. Wow. And you can't say one thing drives your choices in life because it's a multitude of things. And I think... Because her husband was a decent human being, and they portrayed him that way, I think, intentionally, because it was trying to say, not all love is the same. Mm-hmm. And sometimes you need something more than you want something else. Mm-hmm. And I think, yes, I agree. It's sad that this, but I think they were both the loves of her life in different ways. And mm-hmm. do you risk hurting someone that you cherish and appreciate and adore to fulfill what could be interpreted as a selfish act to pursue a passionate love affair? Like, there's these layers to people that you have to weigh out. So it's, I don't think it's always as, when people say, oh, I'm heartbroken that she didn't end up with him, I'm like, I personally think she ended up with the right person.
Me too. And what if they were going to fuck it out?
Yeah.
She says, what if we leave together and, like, we're just met after a while and we fight or whatever? And he's like, that won't happen. And she's like, but it could. I feel like that, what if that happened? Right. So you just walked out on your family and somebody that was good to you and somebody you loved and your children and this life that you had that was good for, on a whim of passion, mm-hmm. on a whim of lust. Like, she chose right.
Right. And I think too, like, she did what was exactly what she should have. She spent her life where she should have, and she spent her death
because she was miserable.
It's just like getting that glimpse of what could have been, yes. and then losing that, because that character pretty much sacrifices everything all the time for her family and does everything for her family and is not self-serving in any bit. So to see somebody finally put themselves first, which I think is important and people should do that. That's the part to me that I felt was so sad, because she kind of transforms into a different version of herself there, having to like leave that behind and say goodbye to that with him is sad.
Well, and like to see her, like, okay, so she puts this part of herself first for her normal family, right?
Right.
And she so badly wants this other part of her to be first, right? The classical music, like, don't slam the screen door, you know, those things. And then she has this man come into her life who does these things for her without her asking. Like, it's not, don't slam the screen door. He shuts the screen door. Mm-hmm. Like, he puts on smooth jazz. Like, all of these things are just so much like a romance novel. Yeah. But at the end of it, it's not necessarily the romance that has made her life complete. It's the love that she's built with this man who has taken her from Italy and brought her to the States. And then, like, the part when they're laying by the fire and,
he may not slam the screen door, but spend long enough with him and he's going to brush his teeth weird. Like, there's a multitude.
At least he was still putting it down.
He was scraping the carrot. She was like,
you spend long enough with someone, you find shit about them that annoys you. It's that, I think what this book represented well was, one, that people are complicated and layered, and like, they need different things at different points in their life, and they need to be sometimes reminded of what they have and where they're coming from and where they're going. And that whole like new love versus old love, because you can look at a new love and be like, oh, nothing about you bothers me. But because you don't know them well enough yet, you don't know where they put their socks. You don't know how they load a dishwasher. Yeah.
Well, and let's just be real. Like, she was getting laid and that. But I will say it's more sad to me because of what she loses in herself. Mm-hmm. than what she loses in that relationship, because you can see it's this whole other aspect of her personality. But that she just doesn't, she doesn't even access.
Right. But I also think that's a good reminder to women that
you don't have to be so self-sacrificing.
Right? You make those choices.
Yes. Like, very much so. That's no one else's responsibility.
You can say no sometimes and say, I need help and you need to do more. And
yeah,
just because this man hasn't asked that of her yet, they also don't have two children and an entire life built together. Like, people fall into patterns. And I think the, I thought the book was excellent. Admittedly, I haven't seen the movie. But I think it does a, women are guilty of it too. To all too often we see on like Facebook posts and Scary Mommy and stuff, like, my husband doesn't do enough. Have you asked him though? Mm-hmm. Because I do think the majority, not maybe the majority, but half the men, if asked, they would do it. They just don't know they're not.
Right.
Like, yeah, they've fallen into such a pattern of behaving a certain way that they don't realize they're not helping. They think it's easier. Like, they're just used to whatever is going on. And I think she did the same thing. She has all these kinds of like things missing in her life, or these insecurities, or this lack of, but it's because she's never pushed for anything else. Mm-hmm. Like, that her husband loved her. I can't imagine that he wouldn't have made adjustments to his behavior or how he acted if it had been requested.
If she spoke up, yeah.
Right. And but also, I feel like I've seen in my personal experience of family members and friends that have retired and have had a hard time with empty nest syndrome, and I'm getting close to it, and it scares the shit out of me. But in retirement,
you and Kai will be fine.
Yeah,
I'm not worried about it.
I'm moving in. Don't worry about it.
It's the sadness of being needed as a mom, and that's your whole life and your identity for a long time. And then when they're gone, you're like, oh shit, I'm not needed. I have to find my own identity, my own stuff again. Am I going to be bored? Am I going to be lonely? Am I going to be fulfilled? Am I going to be all these things? And that's kind of like, and then also worrying about your children because they're off. And you're just hoping that you raised good humans that can defend themselves or whatever. But the point is, I feel like what I've seen a lot lately, and maybe I'm looking for it, is that this like passion reignites, you know, like the emptiness kind of sets in and the kids are gone. And then all of a sudden this passion reignites in the couple. And so I feel like she could have, it's not shown in the movie. I don't know if it's talked about in the book, but they could have had that when the kids move out. She could have been like, okay, I need some passion. Take me dancing. Take me out. You cook dinner. Let's cook dinner together. Let's do these things. She could have had that because she did stick around after the kids were gone when she didn't need to. She could have, like, bounced.
I don't get that vibe.
I don't think she did because he seemed very set in his way.
Yeah.
Like, he was like, I need meat and potatoes for dinner.
Right.
And I need eggs and bacon for breakfast. And I need a ham sandwich.
She shut off too much of herself to be able to like access it again after that point. Like, she's just too comfortable in that role. But I think it's interesting because let's bring it back to the men. They don't read minds. And I literally keep thinking about In Exile when he says, you never gave me any signs. And she said, I gave so many
so
signs.
So many. I gave. Like, oh,
don't do that.
God, I'll cry. Stop. I'll cry that too.
But we have, women have to take a certain amount of responsibility for that because you cannot, sometimes signs, little signals, glimmer, dripped in places is
what?
Not enough.
Guys don't see that.
Well,
they don't.
Okay. To be fair, it's not even just men. Like, sometimes your partner is not wired that way and you have to have a conversation and say, here are my issues. I care about you enough to have this conversation because this is what I need to, I need this to change because this is what I feel I'm lacking. And I do think that you will rarely hear me say this. Men get a bad rap because they expect, well, you can't expect people to read your thoughts. And if you're not enunciating what is actually happening to you and you're not telling them anything is wrong and you're not telling them something has to be different, don't be surprised when nothing changes. Like, you have to be an advocate for yourself at the doctor's office, in your relationships, in your friendships. Mm-hmm. You have to tell them, hey, I'm not happy. I want to be with you. I want more of this to happen. Like, I want to feel closer to you, but here's what I need from you, and give them the chance. Here's the thing about, like, here's one of the, and I write romance, so it's very like, but you never hear the other person's side of, okay, mm-hmm. you need that from me, but here's what I'm lacking from you. Maybe he,
right.
maybe he, sometimes he wanted to be surprised by things. Maybe if she yeah. had made something different and been like wearing nothing under her apron,
right?
Like, you can't yeah. put all the blame on one person when you're in a relationship, sure. friendship, anything, because it is 50-50. So to mm-hmm. say someone didn't ignite that in you, are you trying right. to even hit the ember? Like,
right. She stopped. She right. wasn't doing any of those things like listening to music or doing whatever. Maybe if she had, she would have been a little more interesting to him.
What's interesting is,
well, it's like that episode of Oprah that we've talked about before, like in our very, very early episodes. You train the person you're with. So whether it be your spouse, your best friend, your doctor, like you said, your coworker, whatever, you train them how to treat you. What you accept or what you don't accept is letting them know how you want to be treated. So if you're a spouse that has dinner on the table and is standing at the door to take their boots off every day, that's how they're going to treat you. Because that's the love language you're showing them.
Yeah, that's a Friday.
One of the most profound things I ever heard, and I'm 100% not trying to take this back to politics, I'm really not. When I was watching the Michelle Obama documentary, and she she was talking about how Barack, he was still going to the gym. He was still taking care of himself. He had prioritized certain things in his life. And she said, which I found incredibly empowering as a woman, a married woman, regardless if you're married to a man or a woman or, you know, whatever your preference is, I don't know. But one of the things I found empowering was she said, I realized he was prioritizing and I needed to prioritize. Like, she didn't put it on him that he mm-hmm. was going to the gym to take care of himself and she felt stuck at home with the kids. She said, no, I need to make time also. All she had to do was say, I want to go to the gym too. You need to stay home with the girls for 2 hours a day because this is what I'm going to do. And that changes everything. Like, too often we end up resentful towards our partners because we're not telling them. We get mad because they're doing it and not saying, hey, I need that too. So you need to take care of this because I need to be able to work out. Like, and I'm not, workout isn't, whatever it is in your life, read, journal, like go shopping, whatever your thing is. You can't be mad at the person from taking that from you because you're not standing up for yourself and saying, I need this too and you need to help me. Right. Now, if you say that and your partner's like, fuck you, I'm not helping you, that's a whole different conversation.
That's a different movie.
Yeah. I found that part of her interview so real and profound that I was like, yeah, like you have to say what you need. Stop expecting people to read your fucking mind. Mm-hmm. Who can do that?
Always, though. Like, always. Not just in your mm-hmm. marriage. Like, in a friendship, into this, into that, like, mm-hmm. and like one of the things that I've been currently dealing with, like, I have a friend that, like, well, she was a best friend of mine, and I feel like we've been like, we were misfiring for a while, and in the last like week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, probably 3 weeks, I sent her a text message where I was, well, she said something to me where like, maybe you need to take a break from social media, and I was like, thanks, doctor, like. Like, fuck you. Like, I fucking know I probably do. And like, she said that to me and I was just like, okay, whatever. And I, of course, then came back to her and like explained exactly what was going on because like, as a Pisces, I have to make sure everybody knows why I'm feeling the way I'm feeling. So I said, I was like, look, you know, this, this, and this. And also, I feel like you've been a really shitty friend to me. Like, you haven't asked me about things. You haven't asked me how I'm doing. You haven't asked me how Gail's doing, da 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 da. Like, I have a lot going on, and I have a lot going on that I haven't shared with our listeners. You know what I mean? Like, I don't tell people about everything that's going on. And she basically said to me, I think we should take a break.
Oh.
And wow. I was like, okay.
So you tell me you're free.
Yeah. Hey.
Sign me up.
Hey yo. But I'm just like, one of the things that like drives me nuts in that whole scenario is like, I'm telling you what is going on, and you're gonna say to me something back like that. Well, okay, fine. Like, that's what you're saying, that's what I'm saying. So we need to like have this we're at an impasse now. And I think sometimes it's really easy for people to forget that, like, everybody has things going on. We all have these outside influencers, like, influencing us. And we have to find a way to kind of, like, deal with that and, like, find a happy medium and be able to have friendships and love lives on all of this.
Well, and I'll tell you this.
I deal with it by watching sad movies.
So Lincoln is overly attached to Lex more so than me. And that, I'm not trying to say he doesn't love me or like, we don't have a good, like, don't take it to mean any more than what I'm saying. He has a bond with Lex that he does not have with me. Okay. And I feel like sometimes I'm in the father role of kids at this age are more attached to their moms, like their biological moms. So what I find helpful is sometimes I don't know what to do to help a situation where he's having a meltdown or he's freaking out or whatever. And I'm really appreciative that when I tell Lex, I don't know what to do. What can I do to help this situation? Because I don't know. And she tells me, like, I stayed home from work today because we're keeping him home because I was potentially exposed to coronavirus, whatever. She didn't feel comfortable sending him to daycare. Like, she didn't want to be the person that exposed 30 kids to coronavirus, which I totally get. Yeah. So she still has to work. So I was like, okay, I will stay home. And like, we kind of traded off keeping an eye on him or whatever. When he gets tired, he wants no one but her. So I said, I don't know what to do at this point because he's so used to you. What can I do to help? And she point blank told me, take him in our room, lay down, watch Mickey with him, and hopefully he'll go to sleep. That was so helpful to me because a lot of times, speaking for dads or the person who didn't give birth to the child, you don't know how to help. So having a person that will just tell you, do A, B, and C, that will help me right now because I have to do this or I have to do that or I need a break. I was like, okay, I can do that. I can do that because I know now what I have to do. And it's not like, I don't know if that makes sense to anyone or whatever, but sometimes you just have to be told, do A, B, and C, and this will help me.
Oh my God. I'm telling you, I have brought this up in all of our sex episodes.
Yeah,
it is.
I turned over sex, and I was like, what?
You can't just be like, well, it wasn't good. He doesn't know what you're like. You need to tell people what you want in all sorts of situations.
Well, you have to be humble enough to ask for help.
Correct.
Like, I don't know what to do in this situation. I want to help. Tell me what I have to do to make the situation easier. And you know what? Lincoln doesn't normally sleep for me, but I took him in the room and yeah, he screamed and he hit and he yelled for 45 minutes and then he fell asleep. So, but because I knew do this, I could easily follow instructions.
That's really good birth control.
But you have to be willing. Stop. Women have to stop saying, don't worry about it. I will take care of it. Tell the person that's asking genuinely, what can I do to fix this? Right. Tell them.
They stop saying, no, it's okay. No, I'm fine.
Yes.
Right. Asking for help is really fucking hard.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Admitting that you don't have the same, I don't know how to fix Lincoln the way that Lex does. That's hard for me to say out loud. Like, I don't know all of his little things like you do. You know how to fix him faster than me. Mm-hmm. Help me. Like, those are hard things to admit.
Right.
But you have to be willing to, don't just say, it's fine, I'll do it. Mm-hmm. If someone's asking you, tell them they want to help. Yeah. They're not asking you for shits and giggles. Like, those are the things that are hard to learn in relationships. And I'm fortunate that I have a very emotionally mature partner. Not everyone has that, but you have to be able to do those things. I was like real proud of us. I was like, oh my God, we're gonna be under like an hour this time.
Now we're not.
So here is, we could have done a whole episode on this. I am obsessed with this week, so they're gonna be real quick. I'm still obsessed with Folklore. I keep finding things that I love about it. And two, so there was a brand that came out that had a shirt that is called the Folklore I shouldn't just say a shirt. They had a whole line of clothing that was a black woman's line. And she called out Taylor Swift for stealing from her line and essentially saying one of your cardigans resembles, the logo resembles the same as my label. And what I'm obsessed with this week is, I don't always mean to make it about Taylor Swift, but
it's okay.
She approached it the right way. She was like, I didn't realize that that's what happened, because how are you supposed to know every logo that's ever been created everywhere? She is donating a shit ton of money to an organization that this woman is a part of, and she's changing her logo. So that is the right way to handle it when you come up against something that you didn't realize or did realize that you were appropriating something and are taking it in. She sent her a personal message, apologized, and is now donating a ton of money. And I can't say this enough. I just love Taylor Swift. It would have been very easy for Taylor to bury her in legal paperwork and send this woman out of business. And too bad. And there's some people arguing like, oh, you should be thanking her for even giving you publicity. No, she did the right thing. She did the right thing by acknowledging the smaller business and literally paying the consequence for her. And all of the negative reviews about it of, oh, this has to stop, like, it's not even the same thing. You're right. It's not the same font. And I don't think it was even intended in the way of appropriating at all. I don't think Taylor stumbled across this clothing line and stole the idea. Folklore is a common name. I agree with all of those things. And she still did the right thing, even if it wasn't legally necessary. She could have fought this in court and say, you don't have a trademark on folklore. You don't have a trademark on the. We didn't use the same typesetting. She could have fought this, but she just did the right thing. And she even donated to a nonprofit that this woman is involved in. And I'm just, we need more celebrities to take their wealth and say, I made a mistake. Even if it wasn't intentional, I unintentionally made a mistake, and here's how I'm going to fix it, especially because it's a female brand. And I just wish there was more of that, not of, I didn't do anything technically illegal. I'm just going to do the right thing. Like, there's a difference. And so I was just really impressed with the way she handled the whole situation, and I wish more people would do it.
Nice.
Yes, agreed.
Well, I'm sure we could go on for another 3 hours, but that's it for us this week, everyone.
No!
We had to bail on Lexi this week, but she will be on next week, and we will be discussing trans women assimilating into the lesbian community, which should be interesting, because I know very little about this topic, and I'm interested to learn how we can do better. Because I always want to do better. So
Yes.
I love it.
Have a great weekend, guys. Stay 6 feet apart. Listen to folklore. Yes.
Wear your mask.
At least 75 times in a row. At least.
Go hiking.
Oh my God! Did you guys see how that poor girl had posted right before she went camping? She was like, "I'm going camping. If Taylor Swift does anything while I'm gone, please, someone send me." Okay, so she put out this whole tweet campaign. So she went camping. And somehow people saw this and they're like blowing her up. They're like, you won't believe this bitch released an album while you were gone. Because she was like, I won't have cell service. Let me know if anything transpires with Taylor Swift. She did this 3 days before Taylor dropped her new album. And everyone, so all these people started following her. She went from like 300 followers to like 13,000 because people are like, she's going to lose her mind when she gets back and sees that Taylor Swift dropped a whole fucking album. And then Taylor, so she came back and she was like, oh my God, like I was partially kidding. Like, what the fuck is happening right now? And so she gave like her ratings of the music and like, I'm taking all it. Taylor actually tweeted her and was like, welcome to the woods. Like, please pick up your basket and join the rest of us. And of course she lost her mind all over again. And it was just, it was the most pure thing that happened this week on Twitter that is an absolute dumpster fire of people's opinions and bullshit. Yeah. So
sad that you did not tag me in that.
I will go in and tag you in it as soon as we hang up. Have a great weekend, everybody.
Bye.
6 feet apart. Wash your hands. Don't be a dick.
Also, bye, Mom.
Listen to folklore.
Listen to Folklore. And read Bridges of Madison County.
Or watch it.
No, read it. Goodbye.
Meryl Streep.